I say it every week, and I'll keep saying it until my dying day, that I appreciate you making time to be here in the middle of the week. And you just don't know what a gift and a blessing that is to me, to everybody else that's here. The fact that you are here, your presence is a gift, pun intended. Presence, gift. And speaking of presence and gifts, that's what I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about gifts. And I want to start with the discussion. It's weird to define a term that is so common, like gift. But just imagine that you were speaking to someone who wasn't familiar with our language or our culture, and that you used the word gift or present, and they said, well, what's that? What is a gift? How would you define gift? Like, what would you say to tell somebody to explain what a gift is? Again, I know that's a little bit challenging, so I'm rambling a little bit so you have time to think about it. But give me some other words that you might use. Give me some definition. How would you explain to someone who is completely unfamiliar with the concept of a gift what a gift is? Told you it was tough. Sorry, what's that? Something you get for free. Yeah, something you get for free. Okay, celebrates an occasion. Yeah, sometimes it celebrates an occasion.
A way to show your appreciation.
Okay, a way to show your appreciation to someone. Yeah.
An expression of kindness.
Yeah, good. Undeserved. Yeah.
Sometimes it can be a surprise.
Oh, yeah, sometimes it can be a surprise. Completely. What's that?
Quite often,
yeah. Unexpected, surprise. Yeah, I like it.
Something we hope that makes you happy.
Ah, yes, something that we hope makes the receiver happy. Yeah, that's good. Oh, I was glad Kevin said that. That's good. Yes, I'm going to come back to that problem. I won't mention you every time, but I'm going to come back to that phrase right there. No strings attached, right? No strings attached. We're going to come back to that concept a lot tonight. No strings attached. Good. What else?
Something tangible and unexpected.
Something tangible and unexpected. Yeah. Yeah, that's good too. A tangible, like a gift is something, right? It's not just like words. Like, we wouldn't really consider that a gift. Words can be nice and kind, but they wouldn't necessarily be considered a gift. That's good. Anything else you can think of? I'm sorry? Given from a heart of love. I like it. Okay, there's a term, and actually I didn't realize how truly racist this term was or is, but perhaps you're familiar with the term Indian giver. What does that mean? What does somebody mean when they call, hopefully nobody uses that anymore, but when I was a kid, people called each other that all the time. What do they mean when they call someone that? Okay, yeah, that you gave a gift and you take it back. That term, it's kind of interesting where that came from, and I think it really will help us to understand the concept tonight. When Europeans came to the Americas and they encountered the native people here, the native people did what people in a lot of cultures do, and they gave gifts to the newcomers. They gave them gifts. But when they gave them gifts, the way that the gifts were received by the Europeans was totally different than what the native people were expecting them to do. See, the Europeans had the same impression about gifts that we tend to. They believed that when you got a gift, it was with no strings attached. They thought that gifts were supposed to be given and supposed to be received with no strings attached. We don't realize in our culture, typically, just how weird that concept is. That idea that gifts are supposed to not have any strings attached, that is very unique to Western thinking people. And that is not at all the way the Native Americans were thinking. The Native Americans considered gifts to be initiating cycles of social exchange. Like almost everybody else in the world, almost every other culture understood that when you give someone a gift, it's not just about that one-time exchange. It's not just about a one-time moment of kindness or love or generosity. It is that, but it's more than that. And most people throughout human history, when they gave someone a gift, it was to initiate a relationship. To say, I'm giving you this gift so that now we're bonded. Because now you're going to reciprocate that somehow, and then I'm going to reciprocate that, and we're going to continue to have an ongoing social exchange. We're going to be in a relationship with one another. So with the Native Americans, they gave the gifts to the Europeans thinking that that's what they were doing. But the Europeans received the gifts a lot like we tend to receive gifts, and we just thought it was a one-time thing. You've just given me this gift, and now all of a sudden you have expectations based on that gift, and the Europeans thought, that's so unfair. That's not how it works, and you're manipulating the situation, and they looked at it with skepticism, and they were frustrated with the way the gifts were being given, but of course the Native Americans were frustrated with the way the gifts were being received. You can't just take it as a one-time thing. This, now we're supposed to have this social relationship. It was supposed to initiate a relationship with one another. See, the difference is individual gifts versus collective gifts. Here's a quote that I think was really helpful. The individual gift emerged in the modern West along with the rise of individualism and the expansion of the capitalist market economy. While the collective gift has been a major system of social exchange all over the world that creates sociality through a sense of indebtedness and can be found in various forms in different cultures. Now, I didn't even realize that there was such a thing as gift theory, but there's such a thing as gift theory. We don't even think about it because we've not really ever encountered collective gift. We've only encountered, and we only think about gifting as an individual thing. And we think of it a lot the way we think about, we've been talking about in this series a lot, about exchange and consumer culture. But in most cultures, that's not the way gifts work. In most cultures, there are absolutely strings attached. And they want it that way. In fact, we may listen to that idea and think, that's so weird. Why would you want strings attached? In fact, sometimes when someone gives us a gift, we know that there's at least an expectation of a thank you card. And so we write them a thank you card quickly. We want to get all of those thank you cards checked off the list so that now I don't have to think about it ever again, right? You gave me a gift, I gave you a thank you card, that's it, we're done, right? We made an exchange. You gave me the thing. I was thankful for it. I wrote you a card. I said, thank you. We're done. We're finished. But in almost every culture around the world, throughout human history, it was never supposed to be like that. It was supposed to be, I gave you this gift not just as a congratulations or a celebrate the occasion. I gave you this gift so that now we're in relationship with one another. And there was an expectation that, yes, that you will reciprocate that gift, not by paying it back. Again, when we think about paying back a gift, we're thinking in exchange models. We're thinking of them as transaction. It's not transactional, it's relational. Does that make sense? That this way of thinking about gifts isn't about me as an individual and you as an individual. I gave you that one thing, you thanked me for that one thing, we're done. It's more like this gift binds us to one another, and it binds your people and my people. And so when the Europeans arrived here and the Native Americans said, oh, then we need to welcome you and give you these gifts as a sign and as a symbol of our peace, and it will bind our people to your people and we'll be in relationship with one another. But they didn't understand that that's how gifts worked in that culture because they had developed an individualistic way of thinking about gifts. Us too. And because of that difference in culture and that difference in gift theory, it created cultural misunderstanding. And it's still creating misunderstanding. In fact, I think this lesson today will probably shed a lot of light, I think, on the way some of our brothers and sisters think about even the way that we give to things. We have brothers and sisters in Christ who understand, think, and believe that it's right for an individual to give their money towards certain good works and to support certain good works as an individual. That I can give my money to this as an individual personally, but we can't collectively give towards this work because collectively it would be wrong, but individually and personally it would be okay. I don't know if you've encountered that or not, but that whole way of thinking comes out of this. This, again, very modern, very Western, very individualistic way of thinking about things. And everything we've been talking about in this series about being stewards and the way that God has blessed us and then what we're supposed to do with those blessings needs to be seen through this light. That most people in most cultures at most times have not thought about gifts the way we do. They have not thought that gifts were given with no strings attached. That is a very new way of thinking. And if we read the Bible that way, if we read the Bible thinking when God gives a gift, there are no strings attached, we will have a very big misunderstanding, not just with each other, but with God. And I think we all agree that that would be a problem. And so, in the world of the Bible, a gift initiated a reciprocal relationship of gratitude, generosity, and trust. That's the way it's supposed to work. In the biblical culture, in the ancient Near East, that's the way they understood gifts to work. That when someone gives, and by the way, the word that we use for giving that gift and the gift that is given is charis. It's the word we translate as grace. That when someone gives a gift, when someone gives grace, then it initiates a reciprocal relationship of gratitude and generosity and trust. It's not transactional, it's relational. And they want it that way. And we really should want it that way. That when we give something to someone, when God gives something to us, it creates a relationship where there are expectations, where now there are strings attached. Where we don't want to be disconnected and isolated and just an individual floating around like an island out here. We want to be connected with each other and with God. And giving gifts is part of how that worked in the ancient world. It's not, again, it's not about paying back. It's not that when God gives us a gift, he's like, okay, you better pay me back an equal amount to what I gave you. That's not how it works. And when we ask silly questions like, do you think I've done enough to earn my salvation? Do you think I've done enough to earn the right to go to heaven? It's like, oh, we're misunderstanding gifts. God gave us the gift of grace. And yes, that comes with expectation of faithfulness, of being faithful to him, of gratitude and generosity and trust. But there is no way to earn it. In fact, what a slap in the face that would be to try to earn it, to try to pay it back, to say, okay, God, now we're square. Now we're good. I've done everything you expected of me. Now I don't owe you anything. That's not how relationships work. If you're married, your spouse gave you the gift of themselves, right? And you gave your spouse the gift of yourself. So that you would initiate a reciprocal relationship, not a one-sided relationship, one where you would both continue to give to one another gratitude and generosity and trust. You don't ever get to the point and say, okay, well, have I paid it all back now? Have I done everything for you that you've done for me? That's not how it works. It's ongoing. And God gave us the gift of salvation. God gave us grace to initiate a reciprocal relationship of gratitude and generosity and trust where it would be ongoing with him. We would always be bound to him that way. Again, not out of indebtedness, yes. Yes, indebtedness in the sake of, like, I owe God my whole body, my whole self, my whole life, but not in the sense that at some point I hope to earn it or deserve it or pay it back. That's not the way these kinds of gifts work. So here's what God has done for us. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Not just salvation, but Peter would talk this way. As each person, each Christian, has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good, there's our word, what? Stewards of God's varied grace. And what does varied mean, by the way? What does varied mean? Sorry. Different, various forms, right? Yeah, manifold, like lots of different ways. God's grace manifests itself in lots of different ways. He's given you certain gifts, and he's given me certain gifts, and he's given that person certain gifts. God's grace, his gifting, shows up in all kinds of different ways. And when God gives you a gift, whether that's the gift of salvation, or that's the gift of being able to speak, or the gift of being able to encourage, or the gift of being able to help, the gift of being able to serve, the gift of being able to whatever, whatever manifold various gifts that he's given you, he expects you to treat that gifting as a stewardship. These spiritual gifts that God gives to every individual, they create a relationship of stewardship. That's what we've been talking about throughout this series. The Spirit manifests himself differently in different people, but in every single individual person, your giftedness is a stewardship that exists for the good of the whole body. Here's a quote that I thought was really helpful from David De Silva. He begins by saying, divine endowments of this kind, these spiritual gifts, whether teaching or prophetic utterance or wisdom or tongues or even monetary contributions, become opportunities and obligations for service. Then he says this, the proper response to receiving such gifts is not boasting, which in effect suppresses the acknowledgement that these qualities stem from God's endowment, but sharing God's gifts with the whole church and the world, we are to exercise stewardship of the varied gifts that God has granted with the result that the honor and praise offered to God increases. Right? That when we exercise a gift, whether that is that we help someone, like you have money. Okay, cool. Where did you get your money? Oh, I worked hard for it. Nope, wrong answer. God gave it to you. Because what did you use to work? Energy. Where did you get that? My food. No. Where did you get that? I got it from God. God gave you the energy, gave you the ability to work. He gave you the paycheck. You put that paycheck into his bank account, and then you gave some of it to someone else. Really, it was God giving it to them through you. And you spoke words of encouragement to someone. Where did you get those words? From him. If they were encouraging, if they did good, if they blessed someone, they came from him. And if we boast about them and say, yeah, I'm really good at this, and I really have this gift, I really have that, and we pat ourselves on the back, then we're suppressing the truth that that just came from God. And when he gave it to you, he didn't just give it to you with no strings attached. There were strings attached, relational strings, to say, I'm giving this to you, and giving it to you obligates you to be my steward, so that you steward this gift in such a way that it brings glory and honor to him. And the more people that God blesses and gifts with his varied grace, and they go out into the world and they exercise those gifts, they steward them, the more glory and honor he receives. His glory and honor increases by giving gifts to people. And that's why he does it. Yes, it's for your good. But when you read gift, don't think birthday present. Because it's not like a birthday present. It's more like if you, again, we've been using the analogy of you're a manager at a business and your boss gives you maybe you're a farmer and your boss gives you a brand new tractor. Thank you for my brand new tractor. Yeah, I mean, enjoy it, absolutely. But use it for the glory of your boss. Your boss gives you a brand new car to drive around on all of your appointments. Yeah, it's for you, but it's also for him. There are strings attached. Not in a bad way. Again, I can't even hardly say that phrase without it sounding negative. It's not negative. Why would we think it's negative to have strings attached to God? He's emotionally, relationally attached to us, and we are attached to him. And everything he's given us gives us the opportunity to say, look how good he is. You see what he's done? But anytime, and this is why it's so important that we understand the Holy Spirit, and when we talk about the Holy Spirit, you say, I don't know how the Holy Spirit works, and it makes me nervous to talk about the Holy Spirit. Same, I get it, I understand that. But when you don't give credit to the Holy Spirit for your giftedness, the only other alternative is that you take credit, and I'm less comfortable with that, aren't you? I mean, either you give glory to God or you take the glory for yourself, and I'm not comfortable with us taking the credit. When you do something good, it's only because God gifted you and made you a steward of that good thing, and we do it for his glory, for his sake. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. Here's what Peter says. Whoever speaks as the one who speaks oracles of who? God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that who supplies? God. In order that in everything, who may be glorified? God. Through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, here's the amazing thing about this. And especially in that culture, where when you did something good for someone else, they might think, well, now I'm indebted to you, right? I encouraged you, you encouraged me. So you gave me the gift of encouragement. You spoke a kind word to me. And now I think, okay, well, now you're my patron. Now I'm your client. Now I owe you my life because you encouraged me in a way that I really needed it. You gave me a word when I needed it. You built me up. You helped me out. And now I'm a different person because of the words you spoke to me. And so now I'm indebted to you. And I think one of the things Peter is saying here is, no, you're not. You're not necessarily, I keep running into this thing. I'm going to knock it over. You're not indebted to that person. Who are you indebted to? God, because it wasn't their words that they spoke. If they encouraged you, then they were just speaking the words that God gave them. If they served you, you're not indebted to them. Who are you indebted to? To God, because they were just serving you with the strength that God supplies. And that works both ways. So that when I serve you, you're not indebted to me. I just gave you what my dad gave to me to give to you. If a kid comes to you and says, here, my dad gave me this to give to you, you don't say, I owe you my life now, kid. No, you go to the dad and say, thank you that you sent your son to give me this thing. I mean, today there was somebody from McDermott who went and took some of your gifts, whether you know it or not. Someone had a house fire, and somebody from here went and took some financial gifts to that person to help him in his time of need. But the indebtedness isn't to the person who delivered it. It was on behalf of all of us. And the indebtedness isn't even to us. It's to our Father. We're just conduits of it. And so if someone serves you, they're serving you with the strength that God gave them. Now, I mean, it's good to say thank you, to honor them, to appreciate them, but you're not indebted to them. You're indebted to God. And you're indebted to God every time God blesses you. And God blesses you with the gifts that he gives to you. And he blesses you especially with the gifts he gives to you through someone else. And you've all been blessed that way, haven't you? And so every time somebody speaks a word of encouragement to you, every time someone serves you, every time someone gives you something, I mean, yes, tell them thank you, appreciate them. But also thank God for them. Somebody else that shared a story with me recently, and I won't go into detail, and I'm sure I'll mess it up, but this person received some money and was able to give it to someone else, someone that wasn't expecting it. And as soon as she gave that money to this other person, the other person said, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God." Not thank you, who handed me this money. Thank you, God. Because they understood, I've been asking God for this, and God gave it to me through you. That's how giftedness works. God is blessing you through everybody else here. And God is blessing everybody else here through you. And so we don't get to say, well, now you're indebted to me. I served you. I helped you. I blessed you. I encouraged you. You owe me your life. Nope, that's not how it works. They're indebted to God. The string is attached to you, yes, but ultimately to God. And the same is true the other direction as well, that in everything God may be glorified. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There's another one of those passages where Paul is talking about the varied gifts, the way that God works in different people in different ways. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. There are varieties of gifts, but the same what? Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same what? Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same what? God, who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common what? Good. See, there's no such thing. I am fully convinced there's no such thing as doing something purely as an individual. I can't do something purely as an individual. For one, I belong to a family. I don't ever spend our money, my family's money, and say, well, that wasn't yours, honey. That had nothing to do with you or the kids. That was purely my money. That's not how it works. We share, even if I get an allowance to go spend on what I want, it's still our money, isn't it? Because we're family. And everything you do and everything you are, you do as a Christian, as a part of the body of Christ. Everything you do, everything you give, everything you serve, every word you speak not just as an individual. Yes, in a sense, you do it as you, but you're a family member in everything that you do. And everything that you're given, everything you're given, every dime you have, every ounce of energy you have, all the time you have. It's not about deciding how much of that do I give back to God. Give back to God. It's all His. You're just a steward of it. That's not the question. What percentage of it do you give to God? It's how do you leverage all of it to His glory? How do you steward all of it to His glory? Yeah, some of it we steward by putting towards the work here, and some of it we steward by putting towards the work and mission fields, and some of it you steward by helping your kids, and some of it you steward by helping your neighbors, and some of it you steward by giving to a guy on the street corner, and some of it you steward in all kinds of different ways. But whatever you do, however you exercise the varieties of gifts that God has given to you, you need to understand that all of them, in me, in you, and everybody, comes from the same Spirit, from the same Lord, from the same God. By the way, there's the Trinity right there, Father, Son, and Spirit, right? And it's the same Father, Son, and Spirit that's working in you, is working in me, and all of our gifts, for all of us, were given for the common good. And so there's no, like, you have the best gift, and I have a worse gift, and I wish I had your gift, and your gift is better than my gift, or I don't know what difference my gift makes. No, all of the gifts, they all belong to the body. And your gifts were not just given to you, and they're not certainly given for you. They're given for the common good. We take no credit in any of it. We're just stewarding it for God's glory. Here's another commentary. Starts by saying, part of the significance of the fact that all believers receive their various gifts from the same Spirit, from the same Lord, from the same God, may be that they are all direct clients of the same benefactor or patron. Again, if someone serves you, it's not really them serving you. It's God who's serving you through them. So it is not that the wealthy among them are the patrons of the poorer members of the congregation. Again, that's the way their culture taught them to think. That if they, let's say, this group of 25, 30 Christians worship together in a small house church in Ephesus or Corinth or wherever, and these Christians are worshiping together, and some of them are wealthy and some of them are poor, and the wealthy members find out, okay, my brother over here is having a hard time eating. Well, I'm gonna make sure that you have food to eat for the next year. I'm gonna take care of your food. I'm gonna make sure that you have food to eat. In their culture, that would say, okay, well, now you're my patron, you're my benefactor, and I'm your client. I work for you. I'm obligated to check with you every day. I owe you my life. What do you need me to do? I belong to you. And what Paul is doing is saying, no. They're not your patron. They're not your benefactor. They're simply serving you with the same gifts through the same Lord, through the same Spirit, through the same God that you serve them. And you're all mutually benefiting from the gifts that the same Lord and the same Spirit and the same God are giving you all for the common good. And so God is your patron. God is your benefactor. You all are merely clients of His. But that each member of the church has received a gift directly from God, which he or she then shares with the rest of the community, with even the poorer members of the community having gifts to share with the wealthy and well-connected, so that each member is dependent upon the free sharing of the gifts of all the other members of the community. Each one has something they have received directly from God and have been empowered to share with the rest. Do we see how this would change our mentality altogether? Where when we give somebody something, we really haven't given them anything. We've really just been a conduit, like a pipe, through which the blessings of God have flowed through us to someone else. And they are also giving us gifts from God. I mean, it's like a bunch of siblings, that's what we are, a bunch of siblings just sharing what they got out of mom and dad's pantry. You don't give the credit to the sibling who said, hey, look what I found. They left some Cheerios. Let's share the Cheerios. You don't thank them for it, really. You thank mom and dad who gave them those Cheerios. They're just merely distributing them to us. And that's how we are supposed to think of everything that is given to us, that is shared with us, and that we give and share with other people. So, in other words, seeing ourselves as stewards of God's gifts means no one owes us anything, but we owe God everything. And we reciprocate to God for His generosity by sharing the things that He's given us to other people. And we don't think, man, I can't believe they don't show me the kind of gratitude that I deserve. I've been working hard. I've been doing this thing, and I really helped them, and I really served them. Not really. I mean, you did. But it was really God, wasn't it? You're just speaking God's oracles. God gave you those words that you shared with them. You were just serving with the strength that God supplied you. You gave them money out of your account, but it's really God's account. And you just passed it on to them. They don't owe you anything. And really, your obligation isn't to them, it's to God. And so that keeps us from being people pleasers, because our indebtedness is to the Lord. And so He's the one who's given us everything, and we're just merely stewarding it. But absolutely, there are strings attached. When God gives you a gift, when He puts money in your bank account, when He puts energy in your body, when He puts a thought in your mind, a word in your mouth, when He gives you anything, you're obligated to steward that gift for God's glory and the common good of the church, because it belongs to Him. And He's given you the privilege and the honor of being attached to Him. What an amazing thing that is, that you get to go around and know in your mind, in your heart, and speak with your mouth that you belong to King Jesus, that God is your Father, And so whenever anybody falls over backwards saying, thank you so much for what you did, you get to tell them it wasn't me. I appreciate it, but it wasn't me. You don't owe me anything. I just merely passed on to you what God has given to me. Let's pray. Father God, you have been so generous with us. And we do not deserve salvation or the gifts that each of us have received. Father, help us to understand the gratitude that we owe you. Help us, Father, to steward the gifts that you've given us for your glory, taking no credit, but giving you all of the credit. Father, forgive us when we've stolen credit from you. And Father, help us to point people to you that they may see our good works and give glory to you, that they may be prepared for your arrival when you come because of what they've seen in us. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who makes all of this possible. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.